the Public News Service Stowe newscast for April the 1st, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. As the trade wars launched by President Donald Trump continue to escalate, all eyes are on Wednesday. That for the Associated Press. They report Trump has repeatedly called April the 2nd Liberation Day, with promises to roll out a set of tariffs or taxes on imports from other countries that he says will free the U.S. from reliance on foreign goods. The AP notes a lot remains unknown about how these levies will actually be implemented. The White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said Monday that Trump would unveil his tariff plans on Wednesday, but maintained that the details are up to the president to announce. Meantime, more jobs could be coming to Arkansas as companies interested in bringing manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. consider the natural state.
That's according to a study by the Reshoring Institute. Executive Director Rosemary Coates says the state's low minimum wage is cost-effective for companies that require a large workforce.
What we generally encourage our clients to do is look at the major metropolitan areas and set up manufacturing just outside of that area so you can pull from the labor pool there, or to look at the metropolitan areas in places like Arkansas.
She says although manufacturing remains cheaper in other countries, supply chain problems experienced during the pandemic are making U.S. companies explore options for reshoring. The study did not address the financial impacts of possible Trump administration tariffs on materials manufactured abroad. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
And Indiana is losing millions in public health funding as the federal government cuts grants for state and local programs.
In Marion County, officials confirmed the immediate loss of a $450,000 immunization grant, leaving employees searching for ways to continue vaccination efforts amid ongoing disease outbreaks. Dr. Virginia Kane is the county's chief medical officer. She highlighted the cuts during a town hall hosted by Democratic U.S. Representative Andre Carson of Indianapolis.
We are now seeing that they've cut all state and local health departments' budgets. We have to be very concerned about our ability to protect the public.
Kane noted that the federal government eliminated $13.1 billion in funding for state and local health departments, part of a broader rollback of pandemic-era grants. I'm Joe O'Leary, Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
State health officials estimate Indiana will lose about $40 million because of the cuts. And from NBC News, top Republicans on Capitol Hill poured cold water on President Trump's talk of a potential third term, downplaying the prospect that he would pursue it. This is Public News Service. USDA cuts have affected farming communities nationwide, but a national group says its black farmers remain unaffected. More from our Daniel Smith.
The Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association represents more than 20,000 heirs of black landowners and ranchers across the country. Thomas Burrell is president of the organization and says that because of longstanding discrimination, its members, many of whom are farmers or descendants of farmers, have not been impacted by the USDA freeze.
What our concern has always been, notwithstanding any administrative efforts or the lack thereof, is the constant, unfortunately, of discrimination that prevents our members from being able to participate, key phrase, in food production.
Burrell notes that the association's farmers operate under the USDA and still face challenges from the Pickford versus Glitchman settlement. He adds that Congress has introduced multiple measures this year to compensate black farmers for past discrimination.
And next to Oregon, a state that does not have enough health care workers, and the need continues to grow.
Over the next 10 years, healthcare and social services will need to bring in nearly 225,000 workers, according to the Oregon Employment Department. SEIU's Matt Swanson says meeting the growing demand will take every possible intervention.
I heard from many workers about how tired they are, how difficult it is to provide quality patient care when there just aren't enough people working.
One bill at the top of the union's priority list would address unchecked workplace violence that healthcare workers experience at a higher rate than any other industry. Another would expand funding to allow providers to continue to work while going to school for advanced training. I'm Isabel Charlet.
And finally, Minnesota officials have launched a new portal asking parents, students, and others to share how they're affected by the Trump administration's aggressive approach to reduce federal education support.
Last month, the White House followed through on its pledge to begin dismantling the Department of Education and shift responsibilities to other agencies. That includes the management of student loans for roughly 43 million borrowers. Mike Dean of the Minnesota think tank North Star Prosperity worries about the potential for a rocky transition. He says more confusion could deter people from pursuing higher education.
When you don't have that customer support on the other end, students are not going to be able to really complete the application process, and I think we're going to see fewer and fewer students go to college.
He says that scenario unfolded when a series of glitches hampered the overhaul of the federal student aid system in 2023. Meanwhile, Minnesota's new feedback portal can be found on the State Education Department website. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.